Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge. Hi, everybody. This is Angela Dunn Cartledge, your host of the Been There, Done That podcast, and I am here with my new friend, Lauren Callahan. I cannot wait to have this conversation today. Lauren, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm glad that we could make it happen.
Me too. Lauren is a health coach, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to sort of introduce yourself on why you're here. And we're going to obviously talk a lot about all the different things that come up in our own heads today, but I wanted to give you a chance to give the audience a taste of who you are.
For sure. Yeah, thank you. So I'm a former therapist and I moved into the holistic health space. And now I work with women in midlife who are really struggling with their energy, with their mood. They're biting people's heads off for breathing, right? I was one of them. And they're going to their doctor and being told that everything is normal when they know that everything is not normal. So I work with them in particular around their gut health. This made a phenomenal difference in my life. And so now I bring that to other people, to these women for a very pervasive kind of healing. I also bring in elements of Reiki. I'm a Reiki master as well. And then finally, we work a lot on just good old fashioned self-care. I call it my goddess first principle. We can certainly talk about that. But we bring all those elements to help women get their energy back and feel like a human being again, even in midlife, when it seems like things are just getting tougher and tougher. Help them get to a place where they're actually feeling better than they've ever felt.
It's so amazing to me to be in this stage of my life and to know that I didn't make a conscious decision to have my children so late in my life. And one of the reasons that our doctors speculated that I had infertility or had a fertility obstacle was that I was already in perimenopause in my 30s. And so to be in this world where I don't remember not feeling sluggish and not feeling right, not feeling that that my body is doing something differently than I wanted it to, or that I expected it to, or that my peers' bodies are doing. I've always kind of had this feeling. So I'm really excited to have this conversation for no other reason than I get to learn from it, but I know that the audience will too. I've been hearing a lot of shifting happening in the health coaching world in terms of the way that our bodies are changing in terms of hormones, especially that at this point in our lives, when we get to this perimenopause / menopause stage, we have this instant drop in metabolism. We have a difference in our sleep. We have a difference in our ability to be intentional as well as we were before. Energetically, we just don't have the capability. And we're the only ones that we know that have children as young as we do at our age. And so what's your first line of defense? And what do you recommend to your patients when they come to you and say, I don't feel like doing anything. I have no motivation left.
Yeah. So, first I want to say my heart so goes out to you and to all the women. There are so many who are dealing with this. And, I'm 43 now, but I'm one who was in my mid 30s, kind of like you said, where things were completely changing. And the idea of perimenopause would never be was not on my radar at all. I think a lot of us, I did, and I've talked with a lot of women who do, but we have this perception that, well, perimenopause will be obvious because we'll stop getting periods as often. And so there will be a few months break or something, and then it'll be very clear. But actually, that's not the case for a lot of women. You do not have that telltale sign. But what does happen is that you feel sluggish and you've completely lost your energy and you're crying for what feels like no reason and you're angry at people and, you know, you can't fall asleep at night. And even if you do have sleep, you don't feel rested in the morning, right? You know, certainly there's immunity issues, like, it, you know, it's just easy to get sick. And we take all these things as normal. Well, oh, you know, okay, my kids, you know, got sick at school, right? Like, oh, there's things going around, right? Like we're told everything is normal. So we think everything is normal. And we just come to accept that this is a part of midlife, right? That this is what happens. And so I guess circling back to your question of what is the first line of defense? So there are three things that I really, you know, that I implement right away with my clients. And I kind of do it all at once, right? Because I don't know that one is more important than the other. They all are equally important. What I would say is one of the first things that I get the ball rolling on is to get a woman's gut health tested. Because we will do a lot of work on healing your gut. However, until we test your gut, it's a lot of guesswork. And it's a lot of things that you could probably just go on Instagram and find some really great ideas. Hey, this helps your gut health. And it's probably right. But the thing is, you know, your gut health and my gut health are they're very different. Like we each have very individual, unique circumstances surrounding our gut. And this is important because our gut is related to everything. Like scientists are calling it your second brain for a reason. It is related to your energy. It's related to your mood. It's related to your mental clarity. It's related to your immunity, and not just related, like foundational really for all of these things. So sorry, let me bring it back. One of the first things I do is I test your gut. So we know exactly what we're working with and it's not guesswork. So we know how to proceed to do the things to heal your gut. And we can certainly, you know, talk more about what that looks like. The other thing that I start right away, is a Reiki practice of some sort. This does look different for everybody. But maybe for those who are not familiar, Reiki is an energy practice that heals and balances on all levels. And maybe a little known fact here is that you can do Reiki from a distance, which is what allows me to work with anybody anywhere, right? A lot of people, if they're a little familiar with Reiki, know about it like as an in-person, maybe somebody laying their hands, like channeling energy through their hands, but it can be done in a distance. And it is very powerful and effective. Even if you have your doubts, maybe around like an energy healing sort of idea, I would say, you know, doubts or no, like Reiki still works, right? Which is a really beautiful thing about it. But you know, it brings healing on a physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, like all things level. Some people, everybody experiences it differently. Some people really are going to notice a balancing of their hormones, which gut health does that in a different way, right? Reiki brings a different element of balancing your hormones. Some people experience maybe an accelerated healing around chronic illnesses or injuries. But some people are really going to highlight maybe the mental and emotional balance that they end up feeling because of a Reiki practice. But I would say at the heart of it, Reiki allows your body to release energy that does not serve your highest good. And when I say energy, I mean that very broadly, like energy, emotional, mental beliefs, physical toxins. Like Reiki is effective for all of that. So imagine your body just being able to process and release, you know, physical, emotional, mental things that are just all, you know, not for your highest good, right? So we start that right off the bat. And then the third thing that, you know, I mentioned a minute ago was self-care. Now, this is, I would say, an obvious one. You know, I mean, immediately we're talking about this and you're tracking. And I know like everybody listening is like, yes, I know I need to do more of that. But here's the thing, like, if you don't get it, you will never experience the fullness of health and vitality and energy and all the things that you are capable of. And, you know, I've said it again and again, like if the people that I work with, that truly get this principle of self-care, they are the ones that are living their best lives. And I've had clients tell me that, like, I'm living my best life now. and so, you know, I put a little spin on this idea of self-care, and I talk about all of these things much more in depth in my newest book, which I don't know if we actually talked about because it recently got published. It's called Powerful, Not Tired. Did we talk about that?
No, but that's awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic.
Yeah. So thank you. So I go into depth about all of these things, but the particular way that I present self-care, and I truly believe that this is so important. Is that okay for me to go into depth a little bit?
Yeah. About that? No, go ahead. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So here's what I call it, and here's why I call it that. Okay. So I call this particular self-care idea the goddess first principle. And the reason I call it that is a couple of things. One, my business is Goddess Health, and this is the idea that we are all powerful and perfect to, you know, to our core, right? Like, and as you know, a lot of times the issue is just kind of releasing those things that are not true to us, right? But you are truly powerful and perfect the way that you are. You are a goddess, however you want to believe or take that, right? But the goddess first principle, I'll derail for just a second on why I call it the goddess first principle. Okay. So have you heard of a book called Profit First?
I think so.
Okay. So it's written by a guy named Mike, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It starts with an M. Mike somebody wrote this book called Profit First. And here's my disclaimer. I actually haven't read the book. I've just spent a little bit of time with one of their coaches. But his idea was that, you know, if I ask you what is profit, you would likely answer something to the effect of profit is your income minus your expenses equals whatever you have left over is your profit. And I realized in hearing this, that this is how we as human beings, but I really want to say we as women in particular, tend to view our self-care. So our time and energy that we start with at the beginning of the day, minus all of the energy that we have to put toward everything and everybody else, equals whatever we have left over at the end of the day is for us, right? For our self-care. And we all know like how well that really works, right? And so what Mike said in his book is that for a business to really be profitable, you have to change that formula. You have to change it to your income minus what you take out first for profit equals whatever you have left over is what you give toward everything else. And so again, back to my disclaimer, like that's my extent of the knowledge of profit first. So if that's like super interesting, go read the book. but when I heard this once again, I was like, this is exactly what is true for us as human beings and true for us as women, that if we are going to be our healthiest, most energized, most alive kind of selves, then we have to change that formula to the time and energy that we start our day with, minus what we put first toward our self-care, equals what we have left over to give to everything and everybody else. Now, I'm obviously like not advocating that we neglect our children. I think, you know, everybody intuitively knows what it means to put your self-care first. And I say first, putting your self-care first might be you deciding, well, at 7 p.m. at night, you know, I'm doing this thing, you know, whatever. And like time-wise, it may be last, that's fine. But I mean, with intention, you put it first. The thing is, the reason I can say this and know that you're not going to neglect your children or your career or whatever, is that, you know, what I found and what my clients have found is that when you do flip that equation, you turn it from a subtraction equation into an addition equation. Your time and energy plus what you put toward your self-care equals now you have exponentially more time and energy to devote to everything and everybody else, to the people that you love. You're able to be more present and loving, kind, right? Productive at your career. You have that ability when you have put your self-care first.
What I hear you saying is that self-care isn't the part that you're defining for your clients. You're defining that it needs to have intention and focus and purpose. That's the definition that you're providing. And that the correct. Mm-hmm. And that the self-care itself can then be more flexible, more dynamic, that the person themselves can say, today my self-care will be a warm bubble bath, reading a book. Tomorrow my self-care will be taking a hike. They can be flexible, and it doesn't have to be every single day. This is exactly the same thing that I'm going to do, because that is the only way that it will get done. And for some people like myself that have always struggled with that, with the self-care concept, I think that that is good to start with, that you have a really structured, really rigid idea at first, and then you give yourself the flexibility. I really loved what you said about, it doesn't need to be that when you say prioritizing the self-care, that doesn't mean that it happens the first thing you do when you wake up. You may not have that opportunity exactly when you first wake up. Yeah. You know, you may have very small children, or you may have to get everybody to school, or whatever that looks like for you. I have really good friends, especially triplet moms, that work out first thing in the morning, that they go away from their home. They go to a gym. And I mean, first thing, like it's still dark outside, 4 o'clock in the morning or 4:30 in the morning kind of stuff. But that's because that's what works for their lifestyle and what works for their schedule for the day. And it works for them, as it does for me, to kick off the day with some kind of physical activity. I was telling you when we first got on the episode that I have a very loyal golden doodle, and his name is Shadow, and he is my shadow. He is the embodiment of his name. He is incredibly my buddy. And the first thing he wants to do when he comes downstairs is go for a walk. And it doesn't have to be very far. It just needs to be that be the first thing that we do. It's almost like our bonding moment that we have just the two of us. And so that's what I'm thinking of, is the routine of something. I am empowered by what you're saying, in that I want to be able to say, here is my intention for the day. This is the thing that I'm going to make happen, because I love myself and I want this to happen for me. And it will provide, as you said, the energy and the filling of my cup to be able to care for everybody else in the process.
I love that. And, you know, something that's coming up for me right now, I love that you really like took that aspect of how this really can be an empowering thing. And that is such a good reminder of how self-care really can be presented in a way that is not very empowering. That is, you know, go get your nails done. You'll feel like a better human being. For a lot of women, that works. For me, it doesn't. Getting your nails has nothing to do like with nourishing my soul. You know, but for some people it does, right? Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, I told you I was a former therapist. When I was in getting my master's, right, in counseling, I remember a residency that we did, and it was kind of like this big circle of, you know, therapists kind of taking turns in the middle of the circle, right? Being in the hot seat, right? Mm-hmm. And self-care was actually a really big theme of that week. And the lady that was sitting in the hot seat as, you know, a quote unquote client, she was, you know, talking about like the stress that she was experiencing. And every, you know, person who played the therapist role that came to sit with her really tried to encourage her, in the name of self-care, to reconnect with her family of origin. And she was very, very hesitant. And, you know, she kind of knew their reactions and how, you know, their energy and how they are. But everybody, you know, felt that the best self-care would be resolving these relationships and trying to nourish them and build them. And she just was very hesitant. And finally, one of the professors looked at me and said, Lauren, what do you want to say? And I said, I think I want to say that, you know, for her, this is not important. She doesn't want that. And it doesn't help her. Like, it's really not a part of her self-care. And it's
it okay. actually may cause more stress, you know.
A part of nourishing herself. It may be something that she chooses to do for another reason, but it's not a part of nourishing her soul. It's actually, you know, it looks stressful to her. And she just kind of, you know, breathed a sigh of relief and was like, yes, that is not helpful to me. And so I love how you brought up what is truly empowering, you know, for you is very different for somebody else, right? I mean, it's like an introvert and extrovert, you know, building social relationships is nourishing to the soul for an extrovert, but for an introvert, you know, being alone in the woods is nourishing to the soul, right? So it truly is, you know, it's very intuitive, right? I mean, and I say it's intuitive. Sometimes it is a lot of trial and error. Hey, let me go try this new thing. Oh, I hated that. Let me do something else for my self-care. And that's fine too. But it's something that you can intuitively, I want to say figure out. I hate to use that phrase figure out, but you'll know it, right? And you can know this for yourself.
And that was where I was going to go next, was that I think for me, the hardest part is remembering the things that I like. And where I have lost some of that, and what's really been coming up for me lately is it started to cool down. And my husband said, I can't believe you don't have the windows and the doors open to let the fresh air in. You love this time of year because of that. And I had to pause and sit back and go, I totally didn't even think of it. It didn't even occur to me that that was something that I have always liked. I think it is intuitive, but I think we have to give ourselves the space to see it. And it may be as cliche as write down all the things that you think are fun, you know, and then you sort of can glean from that. But I think you are right that there's so, especially in a season where you've been giving for a long time. And I say this because of my kids' age, that I feel like I've been in sort of a mode of not really paying attention to myself since they've been alive. And it's just such an intense thing to have three children the same age. So I find that digging into that and just giving myself the space to go, I don't know, maybe I'll try blah, and then try it. Where I wanted to go after this is, when you talk about Reiki and its ability to clear, where do you see unresolved grief and trauma in that process? I feel personally that we all have either micro traumas or very large traumas that we haven't fully processed. Either they happened to us at a time in our lives where we didn't have the capacity to do so, or we chose not to deal with them. How do you see that process creating flow again?
I am so glad you asked that. And like, I can't tell you how deeply I feel the question that you just asked. When I first started practicing Reiki, I would say for the first month in particular, I experienced a calming of all of my edges, all of it. And I, you know, yes, hello to the micro traumas and the big traumas, like, yes, right. So there is within me like a lot of reactivity, right? You know, I've done a lot of healing work around this. But I would say when I started practicing Reiki, I was amazed at the gentleness and the calmness that I felt, the smoothing of the edges, the lessening of the reactivity around everything. And again, I mean, I'd been a therapist, right? Like, I've done a lot of like healing work and training. I had done a lot of work to heal my gut, and your gut is like 100% related to your emotions. Okay. So that's a whole other tangent there. 100% though. And so things had gotten way better than they'd ever been for me. But then I practiced Reiki, right? And just the natural like settling in my system, I was absolutely amazed. I was like, wow, I didn't know this was possible. But then I continued my Reiki practice, okay? Went a little bit deeper, like went on to, you know, the level 2 certification of Reiki, eventually went on to being a Reiki master. And I got back in this mode of being incredibly reactive. And so, you know, all kinds of things came up around that for me. Certainly doubt, does this stuff work? Like, what happened? Is it that Reiki doesn't work, or is it that I don't work? I'm not like getting this or doing it right, or something, or it's just Reiki, or it's just me, or, you know, whatever. It was very frustrating, right? You know, especially after having a taste of what felt, you know, just so calm and peaceful in my soul. And now I felt like I was all over the place, right? Like deepest fears coming out, deepest griefs coming out. And it felt so messy. And yet I still, you know, continued practicing, and I recognized, you know, that I began to recognize more and more that, you know, Reiki is not about muting the emotions, muting the grief, muting the trauma. It's not that. And really, it was an opportunity to process the grief and the emotions and the trauma and the beliefs. You know, it was and the energy that physically lives in you from those emotions. And so, you know, I was aware certainly that Reiki was an opportunity to process all of those different kinds of energies and emotions and experiences, and allow my body to release them. I can say, you know, not everybody experiences this, but some people, when they experience Reiki, they'll dream more. And, you know, we all dream, but, you know, a lot of us just totally forget it when we wake up. I'm one of those that every once in a blue moon, I'll remember a dream. But for nearly 3 months straight, I dreamed every single night. And when I woke up in the morning, I remembered it every time. And sometimes it was just kind of like those, like dreams do, like, what was that? That didn't make sense. And then sometimes it was absolutely like my deepest fears, the hardest memories. But I could wake up knowing that dreaming was a method of my body mind processing and releasing memories and experiences and energies that no longer serve my highest good, right? And there's just something beautiful about like sleep and dreaming that allows your body kind of like an extra opportunity to do that. So I could see how, you know, Reiki was helping me process and release all of those things, right? But I remember one day in particular, and this is when I'd gotten to the point where I could officially say that I was a Reiki master. And I had a really hard time saying that, because I am not the wise woman on the mountain. I am crazy most days. I have a lot of children. I'm in a blended family. There are so many special things that come along with being in a blended family and step parenting and all the things, and having a lot of children and wanting to be a human being in the process. And I'm like, me, a Reiki master. Okay. Like, I'm pretty sure I got very snippy with my kids this morning. I don't see myself as that. And I remember one evening in particular, you know, my husband came in, and, you know, there is this person in both of our lives that is just very triggering. And that is like the understatement of the century. It's just one of those things. I've just never found the ultimate good way to handle this. And neither is he, you know. But he brought this person up, and it truly was a benign statement, but I immediately felt sick to my stomach. I was overcome with emotion, with all kinds of things, anger, grief, hatred, like it was there. And I stopped, and I remember immediately feeling defeated, because I thought, I'm technically a Reiki master. And yet right now I feel deep hatred toward another human being for the hurts and griefs that, you know, I've been on the receiving end of, I'm sure have been a part of, but definitely could feel the receiving end of it at that moment. And my husband said, "Are you okay?" Such a simple question, but Angela, I think you and I both know that like there are many days we get that sort of question and we're like, I'm fine.
Do you see my face? Of course, right. I'm not okay.
And on many days, I would have answered that. I would have answered like that, and I would have walked away angry and bitter and trying to mute the ugly emotions that I was feeling and try to stuff them down and everything else. And I just stopped and I said, you know, no, or I don't know that I'm okay, or no, I'm not. And I just started crying. I allowed it to release all the emotions that I was feeling. I allowed them to be released through crying and through speaking about them. And I could say, you know what? No, I feel so much grief right now. I feel hatred. I feel anger. I don't know if it's justified, but I feel it. And I feel ashamed for feeling all those things. I could just say it, and I could say it through tears, and I could just release every bit of it. And it was so cathartic. And, you know, we just hugged. And again, I had that moment of feeling so defeated. Like, how can I call myself a Reiki master? But then the next thought was, you know, actually, I feel like this is a little taste maybe of what being enlightened actually feels like. That you can experience the full gamut of human emotion, the big, the bad, the ugly, and you can just be present with it and even compassionate toward yourself as you feel those things. And you can give yourself the opportunity to experience them and release them. Like you can truly be fully human, and that's a good thing.
I love that. And I specifically resonate with you saying to not mute them. I've heard it said so many times that we stuff emotions, you know, let's just put those down in a little box and ignore those for a little bit. Yeah. But that mute word was so profound to hear, because it's not just you ignoring that. You are preventing someone else from hearing it too. Whereas if you had said, I'm fine, and walked away, that wasn't a relational moment. It was just you thinking that you were battling through it because I don't want to burden him with blah, 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 or I don't want to have this same conversation again. There's no reason for that. Mm-hmm. It allowed that flow to happen for both of you. And I know in my own relationship that my speaking how I'm feeling almost gives my husband permission to also admit what he's feeling. And, you know, men have different ways of dealing with emotions than we do. I'm using the word different specifically so that I don't say worse, but I really think that our ability to be that emotional leader of our families gives our husbands permission and gives our children permission. It shows regulation. It shows everybody the ability that, yeah, I'm just saying that I'm not feeling good right now. I want everybody to know that this is a bad moment for me. But to watch the good moment come out of that is learning for everyone, not just you and yourself. Tell us how we can work with you. How can we get in touch with Lauren? And how can we work with the Goddess First Principle and be better moms, humans, daughters, sisters, wives, all the things that we are as women?
So if you go to my website, goddesshealth.org, you can right there get a copy of my book. It's just a PDF download. You can also get it on Amazon, but this is a different way to get it. And the reason I say that in particular is first of all, that book goes a lot more into depth about all of the things that I do, like the gut health, Reiki, the Goddess First Principle. And, you know, I would say as far as working with me, it gives you a really good taste on if this would even be a good fit for you. Right? You'll know from reading that book, and it's a short read. You'll know from reading that book if working with me is the right thing for you, if it's a good fit, if it even makes sense. So yeah, goddesshealth.org is where you can get that book.
I'm so thankful for our time today. I just was so intrigued by this concept of being able to take what we feel physically and manifest that with our emotion, our emotional health, and be able to heal both. It just is so powerful to me. You're a great teacher, and I'm really looking forward to our relationship continuing to grow.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate this conversation, and I really appreciate the questions that you ask. They're so, so important. So thank you for having me.
Thank you.